Okay, Rabbeisai, today's daf is daf Kuf Chof. And by popular request from our very own brother Shai, we're going to begin at the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Tes Omud Beis. It's a short Mishnah, and a Mishnah that is well known to all of us. And the Mishnah begins, Ein Maftirin Achara Pesach Afikoyman. Rabbeisai, the word Afikoyman as used in this Mishnah is not the way we think of Afikoyman today. What we think of Afikoyman, that half a matzah that was stolen and that was used for extortion by our little kinderlach. That is not what we're referring to. What we are referring to is eating something post eating the Korban Pesach. As you know, we've learned already many times that they used to go and bring a Chagigas Yudalid, special Korban, so that a person would fill himself up, not totally, but 75% on that carbon, and then you would finish off eating the carbon. Pesach would be nechal al hasoiva. Nechal al hasoiva means you ate it and then you became satiated and satisfied with your meal. So when our Mishnah tells us is that after you ate the carbon Pesach, after you eat the carbon Pesach, ein maftirin, the word maftirin, says Rajbam, means to say farewell. You don't say farewell, not literally, but you don't go and say farewell to the Korban Pesach by thereafter eating Afikoyman. In other words, after Korban Pesach, the buck stops there. You stop eating.
Is Maftirin coming out of the word Petira?
No, it's coming from the word Nifta Mechaveroi. Nifta Mechaveroi is related to Petira because etymologically, a person that passes away, he says goodbye. Even if he didn't say goodbye, but that's it. You're not going to be able to greet him again. When a person is niftach hamera, it means he is leaving the scene. He's traveling from here to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov or whatever. So then you say farewell. So that's also a form of petira. Goodbye, but not a petira in the traditional sense,
yes.
But it's related.
Say every Shabbos, the maftir.
The maftir and the haftorah.
Very good.
Beautiful.
That was beautiful.
So look at the Rajbam where it says Mishnah. See halfway down the narrow lines of the Rajbam, you see it says Masnisan. Don't go all the way down. Halfway the narrow lines. Masnisan Maftirin, Loshen Hanifta Mechaveroi, someone who is parting with from his friend. And as we know, parting is such sweet sorrow.
Shakespeare.
And that's related to the sorrow of a person passing away, also sorrow. Kiloimat. When you are leaving the meal and you're saying goodbye, don't finish it off with an afikoyman. What does afikoyman mean? Okay, not clearly. We're not there yet. Gemara is going to explain. My afikoyman. So what the Mishnah has told us is, in a somewhat cryptic, very brief form, that when you are saying goodbye to the Korban Pesach, after that, don't have the afikoyman. Pretty much. What does Afikoyman mean? What is that? Is a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel? Omer Rav shlo ye'okru mechabura lechabura. What happens? You had your chabura of all the menuyim. You had your Korban Pesach. You're finished. You have now benched. You're done. And now you say, I could still use another bite or two. And he goes to another place, to another chabura. He's now going from mimokim lemokim. And if you recall, we had earlier on our mesecht on that peivav, you're not allowed to go and eat in two places. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not necessarily talking about eating from the second Korban Pesach. That would be a separate problem, that you have to be one of the menuyim to be able to eat on a Korban Pesach. And I wasn't a monoy on the second Korban Pesach. I was only a monoy on the first Korban Pesach. So not necessarily we're talking about eating Korban Pesach. What we're talking about is you finished your Korban Pesach wherever you were, and then you said goodbye everybody, and you went on to another mokoyim, where they are still singing and they're still involved, and you want to know, can you eat in that second mokoyim, whether it is their Korban Pesach, or anything else, any other delicacies, a piece of kugel, or whether you took along a piece of your own Korban Pesach, and now you're moving to the other, because all of your colleagues at the first Korban Pesach are all falling asleep, and you said, I'm going to go to a lively one across the street, and you take your Korban Pesach. No, you can't do that. When you don't eat the Korban Pesach at your first mokoyim, you cannot continue eating in a second place. The Rishbam says that the word afikoyman, according to Rav, is based on the words afiku monaichu. If you want to look at the Rishbam, the wide lines, all the way down the wide lines, fifth line of the wide lines, fifth line. You'll see the fifth word on the line is ulerav. Ulerav, fifth line at the beginning of the line, ulerav. Hachi mashmalei, the word afikoimen means afiku, take away, manaychu, your kelim, you're taking with you your pillow, your haggadah, your kittel that you're wearing, and maybe taking some food along. And hoitziu kalechem mikan, v'neilech v'noichal b'makam acher. Rabbi said, we're finished in this makayim. We've done. We already heard the four kashas 100 times, all the toiras and all the singing. I'm moving on to another place, and I'm taking with me my kelim, and we're going to continue the seuda across the street, across town. We're going to go to shul. We're going to go to a friend. We're going to go to a relative, whatever. So that's the word afikoimon, afikomanaichu, to go and take your kelim. All, if it's cold at night, you're going to take your coat, and you're going to put on your hat, and you're going to take this and that, and move on somewhere else. Says our Mishnah, no, you're allowed to go somewhere else to go and sing. That you can. You can say Hallel over there, and you could sing, and you could say Torah, but not to eat in another makom. That's according to Rav. Shmuel Amar, back to the Gemara, Kigoin Urdelayu Li V'Goizlaya Li Abba. Urdeloy means mushrooms. And what Shmuel is telling us, that he used to eat throughout the year as a dessert, mushrooms. On the other hand, Abba is referring to Rav, he used to go and eat goizlaya. Goizlaya means pigeons. So both Rav and Shmuel, that was their typical average normal dessert throughout the year, to go and eat either mushrooms or pigeons.
Is it baby pigeons, goizlaya?
It could be, yeah.
A gozel is a pigeon.
A gozel is a pigeon, and if you compare a pigeon to a large hen or rooster, it certainly looks like a little baby. But I think in general, even full-grown pigeons are much smaller. But yeah, it means a small little thing, yeah. Anyway, the bottom line is that Shmuel is saying he is being machmir 1 degree further than Rav. And he's saying that it says afikoyman doesn't mean necessarily that you left mokim A and you went over to mokim B, and you continued eating. Even in Mokum A itself, once you finish with the Korban Pesach, that's it. Don't eat anything further after the Korban Pesach. And what does the word afikoimon mean? Here Rishbam says that according to Shmuel, it has a different connotation. It means afikoimon. Let's see if we can locate that member of Shmuel. Yeah. See the next line, the line that begins, the goizlayu li abba, that's Rav. This is the sixth line. Okay. Good. It says Rishbam. When Shmuel was finished with looking at the Rishbam, down the Rishbam, six wide line down below, six wide line, six starts with Golayli Abba. Do you see that in the black font? Deep up. Good. Shmuel used to kinuach suda means dessert. His dessert was kemein wapitrios, which means mushrooms. V'rav rogel lechel achasudasei goizoles. And Rav would eat at the end of his meal, he would eat pigeons. Years ago, they used to give out fricassee. So something like that.
That's for dessert, fricassee?
Most people get it in the beginning, so menahapachu over here. V'loshen afikoymen. What does afikoymen mean? Hoitziu veiviu minei mesika. Bring delicacies to the table. Bring the dessert. Ah. I had this wonderful meal, but I can't wait for the dessert. I'm platzing! There's always room for dessert. Exactly. So you bring the Viennese table, etc. Anyway, the point of our Gemara is we have a machloikis in the definition of the word afikoyman. Doesn't mean afiku, manaichu. Let's go and take all of our belongings and move from here to another place and continue the meal there. While Shmuel said, no. The word afiku, afikoyman means afiku minei mesika. Take out the dessert. And therefore Shmuel is being machmir against Rav. As far as Rav is concerned, where you happen to be, you can continue eating. Even though you finished the Korban Pesach, you could have now a piece of kugel, and you can have now all different types of desserts, and kosher the Pesach pastries, and fruits, whatever you want. Just don't leave from one chabura to another chabura. Well, Shmuel said, no. Even where you happen to be, don't eat anything more. That's it. What is so important about the afikoyman being the last food that you're eating? As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, because we want the tam of the Karban Pesach to remain in the person's mouth, so that for the next few hours he'll be able to continue to go and smack his lips and say, "Mwah, that was delicious, that was great, the Karban Pesach, ah, givaldik, givaldik." And if you're going to eat something after that, you'll quickly forget what the whole Karban Pesach tasted like. So that's the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. And now we have Rabbi Yochanan, who is going to side with Shmuel. Rabbi Chanina Bar Shila for Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Amru, ki goyim tamorim kloyes ve'goyzim. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about something which is a little bit more typical dessert as we know it today, and that is tamorim having dates, kloyes are toasted grain, ve'goyzim and nuts, some sort of dessert made out of those wonderful things. And therefore the Gemara is telling us is that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Shmuel, whatever it happens to be. We're not talking about moving from place to place. In the same place where you're eating until now, don't eat a dessert. Whether that dessert means kosher l'Pesach Napoleon, or whether it means a fruit salad, or whether it means mushrooms, whatever it happens to be, that's it. Don't eat anything further. And in fact, Tanya Kavot Rabbi Yochanan, I have a braisa on point, like Rabbi Yochanan said, in Matin Achar Pesach, Kigoy, what should you not eat? Like you typically eat throughout the year. The tamarim, the kloyes, the goyzim, all of these little delicacies and finger foods and things like that. Don't eat it on Pesach night, post eating Karban Pesach. Kum Tuchoyis, that the last thing that we can eat on Seder night, the Karban Pesach, that's the final, and that's how it eventually mushroomed, to borrow Shmuel's term, into being called Afikoymen. That's the final food that you take out, that is your final delicacy, your dessert is the Afikoymen, nothing after that.
Truth be said,
yes,
it's a misnomer.
It kind of means
the other things.
100%, it's a total misnomer. 100%.
That's why the Chacham, that's what you tell him. It's not so simple.
Good.
Okay.
You had to get to the Daf Kuf test.
Okay. So another reason why we say to the Chacham, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach V'Koymen. In fact, I heard two reasons. Reason number one is that you want to explain it to the Chacham so the Tam remains in his mouth. Meaning, you don't just go and rattle off all the rules and regulations. Yeah, we went to Mitzrayim and he came out and we had Chametz and Matzah and then Murar and then... You go and give it with a tam, with a bren, with a passion, so that afterwards it remains in his mouth and in his mind for hours, days, weeks, and years to come. How many of us in our youth had a beautiful Seder with our parents or grandparents or whatever, and we remember it, ad hayom hazeh, oh yeah, I remember how, and all the... So that's the type of teaching the Chacham, that it remains in his mouth, just like the Afikoman remains in your mouth.
When you say to the Chacham, who are you referring to?
In the Haggadah, as you know, there are Arba Banim, there are four sons.
Oh, okay, get you.
One of the sons is the Chacham. Right. And when you're telling the Chacham, it says you go and teach him, Ein Matzin Achim Pesach. Another pshat is that since this fellow is Taka Chacham, he's a wise person, you don't just go and tell him little stuff, you tell him the entire Mesechtes Pesachim to the extent that you can, and some add the word, Ad Ein Maftir Achar Pesach Afikoymen, until the final Mishnah. Don't just go through Daf Beis or Daf Chof or Daf Lamin. Go until the whole Masechta. Tell him as much as you know, as much as you can. Share with him as much knowledge as you have about Pesachim and Karban Pesach.
Point of the first one, how does it shim with the words Ein Maftir Achar Pesach Afikoymen? It should stay with them.
Okay, so let's see the next Shikul Gemara. We're a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Om Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, six lines to the bottom. Ein Maftir Achar Matzah Afikoymen. The same thing applies to Zman Hazeh, that when we finish eating the last piece of matzah, which we call Afikoman. After that, don't eat dessert after that. And by the way, this is Halach and Shulchan Aruch. This
is eat dessert.
After you finished Afikoman, who can even think about eating dessert? I agree with you. Exactly. By that time, we're bursting at the seams, right?
Down.
But you're not supposed to have achil l'kasa. You're allowed to go and drink after that, but you're not allowed to go and eat after that. Anyway, Om Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Ein Maftir Achar Pesach Afikoman. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ein Maftir Achara Pesach Afikoymen. Now remember, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who was Masada the Mishnais, lived after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So you would think that he would codify this halacha as well. Because today, unfortunately, there is no Korban Pesach. Hopefully by this Shabbos, maybe this Erev Pesach, there will be. But if not, Chas V'Shalom, then we're not going to have Korban Pesach. We're going to have the final matzah at the end of the Seder. So, Freitas Gemara, why would Rebbe only tell us about the Pesach? It's Mash Achara Pesach. Who deloy ochal? I skipped the line. Who deloy? Avali Achara Matzah Maftir. It's Mash that after matzah you can eat dessert. So, Gemara, no. Let me boy you cover. Pshat the Mishnah Zazoy. And this is now going to address Brother Shai's point. If our Mishnah would say, don't eat after the matzah of Ikoyman, I'll tell you, very, very simple. Matzah is a fairly dry piece of food. Doesn't really leave much of a tam in your mouth. If right after that you're going to have a fruit salad, you'll have forgotten what the entire matzah tastes like in a second.
It'll wash it out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. When you eat a nice roasted piece of meat, lamb chops or goat meat or whatever, that really tastes good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Even after you have that sweets or whatever you put into your mouth after that, yeah, but that roasted, I haven't had a Korban Pesach like that in a year's time. That's how great that. Delicious, tzli, roasted, beautiful. I would think it's not a simple matter to go and move the taste out of your taste buds. You still feel that tzli hours later. Less lambo, you can go and wash it down. You can attempt to wash it down by eating tamorim and cloyes and egoism and desserts and pastries and kosher pesach, this and that, the other thing. I would think you're still going to feel that tzli. And therefore, this halacha would not apply. Kamash malach. No, we want the tam of the Korban Pesach to remain in your mouth as well as the tam of the matzah in your mouth as long as possible. Therefore, don't eat a dessert after that. Therefore, getting back to Brother Shai, when you go and teach the Chochem in the Manishtana, and you're not in the Manishtana, in the Haggadah, and you say to him, Ein Maftin Achar Pesach Hafi Koyman, go and teach it to him that the taste of the Korban Pesach, or the taste of the matzah, or the taste of what you're teaching him, remains in his mouth for an extended period of time. Is good?
Yeah.
Fine. So, Zokti Mar. So, we just concluded now by saying that the halacha of not eating post-Korban Pesach also applies to not eating post-eating of the matzah, bizman hazeh. So, Zokti Mar, Le Mesaile, let's bring a raya, a proof to that. And we have a very interesting brisa. Hasufganim. The word sufganim, as you all know from Chanukah, is sufganiyot. But we don't mean donuts, because you can't eat a donut on Passover. That would be prohibited.
Awesome.
We're talking about sponge matzah, a matzah that was made in a spongy way. And of course, you know, in Hebrew, a sponge is called a svog.
Right.
And because it absorbs, so anything which is sponge-like, it's absorbent. Anyway, the sufganim over here is talking about a sponge-like type of matzah. Vadufshonim is referring to honey matzahs. How do you make honey matzahs? So Rashbam tells us that you go and fry it instead of going and baking it. Or maybe after you baked it, then you fried it. Whatever. Vu eskriten. Eskriten means a wafer type of matzah that was made from a very thin batter. So it's not like our matzahs, which are basically wafers. Presumably, these are the type that you can bend a little bit, or flexible, whatever. But these three are not what you would call traditional matzahs. Says the Braisa, Odma Malik Reis Mehet, as long as they're kosher Pesach, obviously you have to be careful that there's no chametz, but as long as they're kosher, you can eat them on Seder night as much as you want. Ubelvad, make sure that after you finish with all of these delicious sponge matzahs and honey matzahs and wafer matzahs, that you eat the real McCoy at the end. Why do you have to eat it at the end? Why can't you go and eat your achilas matzah? There's like a mitzvah to eat matzah. Eat it at the beginning, and once you, Baruch Hashem, I'm done. I know that I did the mitzvah properly. I ate one kazayis, two kazayis, and 12 kazayis, and I'm done. Let me eat sufgan with the shadr. Why can't I eat it? Oh, it's the chasimin. Bachroina, and you can eat the final matzah at the end of the carbons, end of Seder night. However, Barishayin Eloi, but don't eat it at the beginning, because you're not to eat anything after that. Because we just had that, Rav Yehuda Mishmol said that once you finish the matzah, you cannot eat anything after that. So make sure you eat the afikoman at the end, and not at the beginning. That you cannot eat anything after the Karban Pesach and after the matzah. Everything more, not light. You have no riot. Let me buy you come. The pshat in the brice is the following. The truth of the matter is, you can go and eat vis-a-vis the brisa. In other words, we have no right of Yura Mishmul. We could learn the brisa that you are allowed to eat the matzah first, and eat the suvgonim, duvshonim, and iskaritin second, later. What the brisa is telling us is, let me buy you, come on. Let me buy you, barishoin, and take ochel teyobay. When you eat at the outset of the Seder, the matzah, then you're eating it with a tremendous yearning and craving. I haven't had shmura matzah for almost a year now. Oh, I can't wait. I smack my lips. It's delicious. And therefore, after I make sure that I eat my full kazayas of the matzah, then I could continue on eating the shavganim, dushanim, iskaritin. No problem. Abu Bachroina, I would say, don't leave it for the tail end of the Seder. You know what might happen? He might already be so full by the time he gets to eat that matzah. He's saying, I'm bursting at the seams. And therefore, I would think, don't allow a person to fill himself up with suvganim, duvshanim, iskritin, with fish, and with soup, and with meat, and chicken, and kugel, and all the rest at the Seder night, because by the time you get to that final matzah, you cannot eat anything more. If you are stuffed, kamash will, and that's why the Braisa says, I'm not choshish, because everybody wants to be mekayim the mitzvah of eating what we call the afikoyman, that final matzah. So people will hopefully use their senses, and they will not stuff themselves, and therefore there was no gezeira. The Chacham said, yes, you can eat suvganim, you can eat fish, and you can eat kugel, and you can eat chicken, whatever you want to say that, just make sure to leave room for the kzayis matzah, b'achroina, in other words, to make sure that you're going to still have room and it won't be achila gasa. But if you want to go and guarantee your eating of the matzah at the outset, then that's fine, no problem. In other words, we have no raya from the price.
What's the havin? I don't understand
that. Havin is a wonderful havin.
But you have to be able to eat matzah, you make achilas matzah, and that you shouldn't be yotze with that? What's the deal?
We eat, of course, every single Seder night, both matzah, the initial al-achilas matzah, and then we eat matzah at the end, what we call the afikoyman matzah.
Right.
Both of those are chiyuv. Each one of them you have to eat a kazayis. The final one that you eat at the end, according to Magen Avraham and others, you have to, in fact, have two kazayisim. Why do you have to have two kazayisim at the end? Because that matzah represents two chiyuvim. Number one, the Korban Pesach. And number two, the matzah that you ate together with the Korban Pesach. On matzah samarim yichlu. That's why some poskim hold you have to have two kazayisim at the end. Speak to your competent local rabbi as to what you should do. The point is, that second matzah that you eat at the end is a separate mitzvah other than the mitzvah of al-achilas matzah. It's the mitzvah of afikoyman. What's the afikoyman? Unfortunately, we don't have a Korban Pesach today, so that's bimkoyim, the Korban Pesach. So therefore, just like after the Korban Pesach, he can't eat anything. After the matzah, he can't eat anything. Says now the Braisa, says the Gemara, I'll bring you a raya that the matzah is exactly like the Korban Pesach. Don't eat anything after that. Because the Braisa is very careful to say, you can go and eat the sponge matzah, and you can eat the honey matzah, and you can eat the wafer matzah. No problem. Eat as much as you want. Just make sure you have enough room to eat a kazayis matzah at the end. So let me ask you, if you are really concerned about eating the matzah, why do you say eat it at the end? Yes, eat it at the outset. Go and say, I'm eating now matzah for purposes of the Korban Pesach. Unfortunately, there is no Korban Pesach tonight. I hope next year there will be. Al Pesachim, Al Ezvachim, Al Ezvachim, Al Pesachim, Matzah Shabbos, whatever. Next year, but this year I don't have the Korban Pesach, so I'm going to eat my matzah. And I have Hinni Mukhram Zuman, and I'm eating now the Afikoyman. Would you be allowed to do that at the beginning of the meal? Sounds from this price that you can't. You have to make sure that that size is not right. Because you can't eat anything afterwards. So that's what it sounds like. So I have a right of Yehuda Mishmul. Make sure you can eat anything you want from A to Z. But leave room for matzah b'achroina. Why do you have to eat matzah b'achroina? Eat it early. No, you can't eat it early. Because if you eat it early, you can't eat anything afterwards. So good to raya. Says, no, you have no raya whatsoever. All the Brice is telling us is, if you want to eat the afikomen at the beginning of the meal, no problem. Go and wash. First eat alechilas matzah, have in mind for the matzah, then eat maror, eat the koirach, and then eat your round eggs that you cut in half, etc. And before you start the fish, you know what? To be on the safe side, let's eat the afikomen now. We'll eat the afikomen right now. Hini mucher amzuman, I'm eating the afikomen. And afterwards, after I'm finished, I'm going to go and eat the fish, and the suvganim, and the duvshanim, and the iskaritin. So why did the Braisa say you have to make sure to eat the matzah at the end? Now that's not what the Braisa means. The Braisa means to say is, you can have the afikomen at the beginning if you want. What the Braisa is telling us is, I might have thought that if you're going to eat and stuff yourself on Seder night with other delicacies and treats, that maybe by the time that you get to the afikomen at the end, you won't have any room and you'll be platzing. Platzing is a Yiddish word to mean that you are stuffed to the gills, right? So I would have thought, I'm not nervous about it. People know that there's a big mitzvah afikomen. They'll leave room. There'll be at least 5% room left in their stomachs, and so you don't have to be concerned. So
according to Zavmina, it would mean that you wouldn't be able to be yotzei the afikomen at the beginning.
According to the Havamina, we're not addressing whether it'd be yotzei or not. According to the Havamina, we're addressing whether you can eat anything post the afikomen. The sense of the Brice is you can only eat things before the afikomen and not after the afikomen. So you want to eat suvgan? Sure. Dufshan? Sure. Skritin? Fish?
And you eat soup? Cool. Nobody's saying you don't have the achilas matzah. You do that. It's just the afikomen that you're saying.
The afikomen, what we call the afikomen, that's the final matzah. Just make sure you leave some room. Muvachi, echlik, zayit, my friend. Agree with you. You want to eat whatever you want. You can have 3 pieces of fish, 2 pieces of chicken. You can have 1 piece of kugel, 3 tzimis, whatever you like. But just make sure you leave mukum for the k'sayis matzah at the end. Right, exactly.
Matzah's chova to me would be al-chilas matzah.
No, the matzah chova means this afikomen matzah.
Okay.
It's talking about the afikomen matzah. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to eat anything every time after you eat your matzah at the beginning of the Suda, okay? I got a bench. I can't eat anything. Brother Shai said you can't eat anything after the matzah. Let's bench now.
Okay, sure.
No problem.
But it has so much importance. It just has so much importance that leaving it for the tail end of the Seder diminishes it kind of in importance, and people can.
So that's why at your Seder, I want you to please stand up and say, Rabbeisai, eat to your heart's content. But remember, leave room for the afikomen, because that's the most important part that's connected the Karban Pesach, that people should be sensitized to the importance, the relevance, and the significance of having the afikomen at the very end, and it should leave the tam in your stomach and not eat anything beyond that. Okay?
As it compared to the importance of reading the Agada?
They are equal footing.
Thank you.
I
have a question.
Yes.
Shouldn't we eat korech at the end then? If it's b'mokam afikomen and Hillel is eating it, so to speak, as a substitute for korban pesach,
right?
Why are we eating korech early? I understand achilas matzah for washing, having a suda, but why don't we have korech at the end in place of the afikomen? And say, zecher midrash Hillel, just like Hillel would eat his korban pesach at the end of his seder, a matzah smar melchu. We're eating korach now. Why are we having korach earlier in the seder?
It's a very good question. The korach that we have is the matzah and the mara. That we eat matzah at the end of the seder, that is symbolically bimkom the korban pesach. If you're going to go and say, all right, so let's do it like they did min haTorah, that they ate the korban pesach together with a piece of matzah, you're going to be having a sandwich, a korach of matzah together with matzah. And in fact, according to the Magen Avraham that holds it, you're supposed to have 2 kezaisim, 1 kezais of the Karban Pesach and 1 kezais of matzah. And since we don't have the Karban Pesach, so the matzah is the Karban Pesach substitute, you're going to have to have 2 kezaisim, so you're going to have a korach. You can go and put the two together, put the Karban Pesach matzah on top and the other matzah on the bottom, or if you want, you can put the matzah on top and the Karban Pesach matzah on the bottom. So now if you're saying, why don't we go and throw maror into the mix as well? Okay, we are ready. You'd have to look at the Magen Avraham in more detail inside, but the presumption is we don't paskin like Hillel, because even Hillel himself, you remember a couple of days ago, said you could be yotze that way as well, doing it separately. But the minig was to go and do it all together, so we don't eat it out chiyuv. We do it really zeichel mikdash kehillel. We already did the matzah, we already ate the matzah, we already did the marah. Now we want to, as remembrance, we go and eat them together. So we already did that. And it's not necessary to go and redo it yet a second time. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara now, the Gemara zogt, we're going to have a second version of the discussion that we just had, and the second version is going to be in reverse. Starting the fourth line from Kuf Chof Amet Aleph Mar Zutra Masni Hachi. Mar Zutra learned the halacha of Yosef ben Shmuel, faket, the opposite. Omer of Yosef ben Yudah ben Shmuel, maftirin achra matzah fikoymen. You are allowed to go and eat after the final matzah, what we call the afikoymen. You are allowed to eat dessert after that. Name aside, let's try to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Now, everything that we asked before as a kasha will now be a raya, and we brought before as a raya will now be a kasha. Name Messiah, it says in the Mishnah, Maftin Achra Pesach Afikoymen. Achra Pesach Deloy. You're not allowed to go and eat anything after the carbon Pesach. Mashma Avalacha Matzah Maftir. It's Mashma that after the Matzah, you would be allowed to go and eat things. And therefore, it's a rioter of Yehuda Meshmuel, the Maftir and Achra Matzah Afikoymen. It's about not Nishkarai. I might have thought that after matzah, the reason why you're not allowed to go and eat anything in, and the reason why the Mishnah didn't bother telling us, is because everybody knows that matzah doesn't have a major, major taste bud, or doesn't have a major effect on your taste buds, because matzah is a kind of a dry type of food. And therefore, that's why our Mishnah doesn't even have to tell you not to eat any dessert afterwards. I would think after Pesach you can eat as much dessert as you want, because even after you eat all of your nice fruit salad or whatever you eat, then after you still say, but I still feel that delicious tzli. I haven't had a nice roasted piece of lamb chops like that. That's really good. So I might have thought that you can go and eat something after Karban Pesach. That's what Mishnah has to tell you. Not only by matzah you should not eat a dessert post that final matzah, but even by Karban Pesach you shouldn't eat anything after the Karban Pesach. So bottom line is, we have no raya from our Mishnah, because although the Mishnah only tells us halacha l'gabei Karban Pesach, because the Mishnah felt I needed to tell us that chidush, it's a davar pashut that you're not allowed to go and eat anything after the final matzah, because then that washes down the whole time in a split second. Frankly, more meisvei. Again, according to this version, Shmuel says you're allowed to eat something after the final matzah. Meisvei. Let's look at the braisa. Hasav gonen, those sponge-like matzahs. V'has dufshonen, and the honey matzahs. V'iskaritin, and those wafer-like matzahs. Odom amale kreisim hen. Ubelvad, be careful, make sure, sheyoichel kazayis matzah b'achroino. Why do I have to be careful? Smash b'achroino in b'rishayin aloi. Only b'achroina I have to eat that final matzah. But I cannot eat the final matzah prior to that. Why not? Shmuel just got finished saying, according to this second version, that after the final matzah, you can keep on eating and eating and eating and eating dufshanim and sukranim and kloyes ve'goyes and whatever you want. The Bryce says, mashma no, that this is b'achroina. It's got to be the final food. After more light, lo yim b'boi yikomar. The Bryce says, "Azoy, lo yim b'boi yibari shoyne tekaochel leteyavoin. Avad and avad, you're allowed to go and eat the matzah early on. Why? Because when you're eating the final matzah at the beginning of the meal, you're eating it with a tremendous yearning and craving and desire. But if you eat it all the way at the end, the oslemeichel achilagasa, where there is the potential that by the time you got to the afikoymen, you're stuffed." And you're no longer eating it with a gishmak and with your taste buds all lit up. Oh, this great matzah. Eimoloi, I might think that this is prohibited. Make sure to eat the final matzah at the beginning of the meal. Kamash molon, that's why the Braisa said, no, you can eat it. You can also eat it at the end. Not that you have to eat it at the end. You can also eat it at the end. And the Chachamim were not noivis that you might overeat and come to eat that final matzah, achila kasa. So bottom line is, we had a machlokes as to what Shmuel really held. Lemaisa, we paskin like the first Shmuel, that ein maftirin achar pesach afikomen, one should not eat anything after afikomen. If you want to eat fruit salad, gizintahit. If you want to have other pastries, delicacies, whatever, everything pre-afikomen, what we call afikomen, and not post that final matzah. Amar Rava. Now, we've discussed this a number of times throughout the Masechta, and now the Gemara, for the first time, brings it on the plate and tells us exactly what's the mitzvah today. Amar Rava, matzah bizman hazeh d'oraisa. When we eat the matzah on Seder night, that is min ha-Torah, when mekayim a mitzvah min ha-Torah. If you're eating maror, that's only d'rabbanan. Freit d'imara, why? In other words, what would be the reason to go and say that moror is drabonim? It says befeirish in the Torah, you gotta eat matzos umroirim. How do you say that's drabonim? Because the answer is the matzos umroirim, like Brother Barry was talking about a few minutes ago, you ate it together with a carbon pesach. If there's no carbon pesach, then there's no maror. One is dependent on the other. If that's the case, then matzah bizman hazeh should also be drabanan. Freiti maror, nochamul. Ma'ish the maror dechsev al matzah marim yichlu. Bizman deika pesach yesh maror. Bizman deleka pesach leka maror. Matzah nami. Hoksev al matzah marim yichlu. You should go and say that if there is no carbon pesach, there is no maror, and there's no matzah min ha-Torah. Emphatic Gemara, based on Matzah Merem Yechlu, you're absolutely right. But Matzah Mehed Ahoda Beikra, there's a new pasuk, and that new pasuk is Be'erev Toichlu Matzois. Which Be'erev are we talking about? Seder night. So forgetting about the Karm Pesach, forgetting about the Moror, forgetting about Matzah Merem Yechlu, I have a Bezundra, a separate pasuk, Be'erev Toichlu Matzois, that's why you have to eat Matzah Menatoira Bizman Hazeh. That's a Yiddish term, which means it's a separate chiyuv. It's a separate obligation besides matzah merem yichlu. Separate obligation to eat matzah. Rav Achim bar Yankev Amar, echad zeh v'yechad zeh drabonon. That bizman hazeh even matzah is drabonon. We had this Rav Achim bar Yankev quoted a few days ago in the Gemara. He says that even matzah bizman hazeh drabonon. What does he do with that pasuk? What happens to a person who's tummy? Or he's a distance from the Azara on Erev Pesach. When is he going to go and make his Erev Pesach? Now he cannot make it. Why? Because he was tummy. Or he's Bederech Achayka. So, since at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was standing, he's not going to be able to eat from the Karban Pesach because he was tummy. Or he was a distance away. So matzah umar namilay nechal. I might think he's exempt from eating matzah umar as well. Kamashvulan, that's why you have to have a special posse to go and say, Bo erev toichlu matzois. Not to tell os bizman hazeh, but to tell the people that were tmei mishav derech rechoike at the time of the Beis Midrash, and therefore says Rav Acha bar Yankev, today there is no chiv to eat matzah min hatoir. It's a mitzvah derabbanan. But not min hatoyer. Only when the carbon pesach. No carbon pesach, no matzah, no maror, zero. All drabbanan. Rav Amalach, what does Rava respond? Rava is the one that said that matzah bizman hazeh is min hatoyer, it's the araisa. Don't we need the be'erev toichle matzahs to tell you by the tomei v'shoyidara chachaykim? Says Rava, no. We don't need be'erev to tell you the tomei. We show you b'derech ha'choika that they have a mitzvah of eating matzah seder night leitzarech kro. The loygari mi orel ubei nechar. They're not any better or worse than the orel. The orel is the person that did not have a bris. Ubei nechar nebuch that he is estranged because he became a shtikal apikoyres. Nisnakru maas of levinu shvashamayim. What's the halacha by these people? The sanya kol orel lo yoichal boy. And you have a similar passing there called benechar lo yoichal boy. A orel or benechar is not allowed to eat for the Karban Pesach. Disqualified. Don't eat. Then why does it say lo yoichal boy? I learned from that boy ain't a oichal. Aval oichal matzumar. Even though they cannot eat the Karban Pesach, they still have the mitzvah to go and eat matzah maror, and that's what the boy comes to tell you. That being the case, madach these quote unquote bad guys, yes, it's true, an oral doesn't necessarily have to be a bad guy. It could be that unfortunately, mesu echav machmas mila, but bottom line is the oral and the benechor together are exempt from the Karban Pesach, but they are mechuyev in the matzah umarar, and therefore says Rava, no, the tamei v'shir derech chayka are no worse than them. Then they should also eat the matzah in the. I don't need a special pasuk erev teichel matzahs to include the tamei v'shir derech chayka. They're no worse than the oral and ben necher. Says Rav Acha bar Yankov, no. V'idach k'sim b'hai u'k'sim b'hai. I need both psukim. I need the pasuk of Be'erev Toichel Matzois, and I need the Kol Or Lo Yoichel Boy Utzrichi. I need them. Why do I need them? Normally the Gemara would say, because everyone says, I would know that. And it would say that, I would know. The Gemara is silent, doesn't say what the Tzrichi. However, the Rishbam fills in the blanks and tells us what the Tzrichi is. And the Rishbam makes it very, very, very simple. And he says, the reason why Orel and Benechar have a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, even though they don't have the Karban Pesach, is because they're not going to have a second chance. These are bad guys, in a sense. The Orel is, unfortunately, he doesn't have a bris, and the Benechar is a bad guy. And therefore, just like they're not having the Karban Pesach Rishon, they're not going to have the Pesach Sheini, says the Torah. Okay. Forget about Karban Pesach, but make sure you eat your matzahs on the first night of Pesach. Masha Enken Lagabe, the Tomei V'Shederech HaChoyka, this is just a temporary thing. And yet, by the time it becomes Pesach Sheni, the Tomei will be Tahar, and the Shari B'Derech HaChoyka will no longer be B'Derech HaChoyka. They're going to bring the Pesach Sheni on Pesach Sheni. And therefore, Solka Daita Chamina, they should be exempt from eating the matzah now, because they'll have a second chance. When they're eating the Pesach Sheni, then they'll eat al matzah meroirim, and therefore say tonight they can go to sleep early. They don't have to eat. They don't have to go and drink. They don't have to do any carb Pesach. So no matzah. No what? Kamash will not have a special pasuk. Berav toichlu matzois. Yes.
Didn't we have the concept weeks and weeks, months ago about I forget the Aramaic since, the word since?
Yeah.
They talked about this topic of, so he could be circumcised by the second time?
That's a good question. Good question. So what Ed is asking is, just like the Tamei Zorich HaChoy can go and bring the second Pesach, why can't you say the same thing also to the Oron Benechor, that they can go and bring the second Pesach? So you recall, in fact, we had a machloikis back earlier whether or not the Pesach Sheni is considered to be a Tashlumin L'Rishon, or it's a Chag B'fnei Atzmai. Tashlumin L'Rishon means that it's just a backup for those by default that couldn't do it the first time. They have now that second chance to do it, or it's considered to be its own Chag. What's the Nafkimina? The Nafkimina is someone that could not bring it on the first Pesach. Does he get the second chance on the second Pesach? The Gemara gave an example, for instance, and this happens all the time. What happens if you have a katan? Katan means a boy that's not yet bar mitzvah. And guess what his bar mitzvah is? Rosh Chodesh Iyar. In between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Does he have an obligation to bring the Pesach Rishon? No, he's a katan. Does he have an obligation to bring the Pesach Sheni? That's already a shayla. That depends. If you hold that Pesach Sheni as an independent obligation, okay, he didn't have it before, but he has it now. If, however, you hold that the Pesach Sheni is only a second chance for those, a makeup, right? They have a makeup test. You make up for the first time. You couldn't do it the first time, but you do a makeup. Fine. So, he doesn't have the makeup requirements because he didn't have the first requirement. Therefore, he'd be potter, he would be exempt from bringing the Pesach Sheni.
Because there was no obligation the first time, he's not obligated to bring the second time.
Exactly right. So therefore, the Benechor and the Oru would be in that category, that since they are exempt the first time, they don't have to bring it the second time. The Tomei Derech Choyka are the Bedeavid people. I'm sorry, you know, I became Tomei at the last moment. I remember Chaver Kedisha, we had a Levi. Or a person that it was traffic, he wasn't able to get into Yerushalayim on time. Yeah. But they have a backup choice.
Traffic
on
Yerushalayim.
Can you imagine?
We have that whole
exactly. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara once again. So that's why we have to have two limudim. It's not enough just to learn from Oral and Ben Nechor that they have a mitzvah to eat matzah umar. They have to eat matzah umar on the first night of Pesach, on Pesach Rishon, because they don't have a Pesach Sheni. But the Tomei Derech HaChoyka do have a Pesach Sheni, so I would have thought they have no mitzvah to eat matzah tonight. No, Eat matzah tonight. Be'erev toich l'matzah. Make sure to eat the matzah. Tani kavos in the Rava. We're going to bring a right to Rava. What did Rava say? That matzah b'zman hazeh is the oiraisa. Shteit in posik sheishis yom toich l'matzah v'yom ha'shvi teres l'shem aleikachom. This is a very, very interesting posik. The posik says you're supposed to eat matzahs for 6 days, but you have yontiv for 7 days. You only eat matzahs 6 days? Don't we all eat matzahs the entire yontiv 7 days in Eretz Yisrael? And in Chutzlar it's 8 days. But what it's telling us is by saying 6 days, mashvi rishus af sheshes yom rishus. If you want to eat matzah the 7 days, by all means, go and buy 20 pounds, 50 pounds of shmura matzahs. Eat as many matzahs as you want. But you don't have to eat matzah. What happens if you're one of these gluten-free type of guys and you don't want to, you cannot eat matzah, it's not good for your digestive system, then what can you do? The entire month, the entire yontif, if you can eat macaroons, you can go and eat meat, you can go and eat kugel, you can go and eat lots of other things. Your staple doesn't have to just be matzahs, matzahs, matzahs. And therefore, the pasuk is telling us is sheishes yom teichel matzahs uvayoy mashvi. By leaving out day number 7 in this pasuk by eating matzahs, you know why we're leaving out day number 7? There's no mitzvah to eat on day number 7. Ah, and then we have a famous rule: dovei shehayu b'chlal v'yotze min haklal lo lelamed al atzma yotze lelamed al klal kula yotze. What that means is when you had something that was within a general rule, and then you pulled it out of the general rule, you typically don't just pull it out for it itself, but to be as a marshal or as a guide for all the others within that same rule. And since we took out the 7th day from the requirement to eat matzah, mashvi rishus, just like the 7th day is rishus, you want to eat it, you eat it. You don't want to eat it, you don't eat it. Avsheshes yom, the first 6 days is also rishus. My time of why, like we just said, havadosh ha'yu b'chlal, the 7th day was within the general rule of 7 days. V'yotzim in a klal, and it got out of the general rule. L'lami to teach you. L'lami alatz v'yotzim, not to just teach about itself. L'lami al klal, that all 7 days you're potter. Is Yochel af Laila Risha Rishus? I would think the first night you're also potter from eating matzahs. Maybe you never have to eat matzahs. Tam aloima al matzahs amroyim yechlu. You have to eat matzahs. Okay, Eli, but Manche Beis Amidish Kayim. Manche Beis Amidish Kayim Minayin. When does the Pasuk say al matzahs amroyim yechlu? You have to eat it with the Korban Pesach. That's when there is a Korban Pesach. Today there's no Korban Pesach. Maybe there's no mitzvah matzahs amroyim. Tam aloima arba erev toichlu matzahs akosav kovei choiva. The first night you have to eat matzah whether you like it or not. And if you're one of these gluten intolerant people, then you get matzahs made out of oats or matzahs made out of spelt, etc. You have to be mekayim the mitzvah that
has gluten.
It depends on the different types of spelt. I'm not a scientist, but I understand that there are different types of spelt matzah that can be stomached by the people that are gluten intolerant. If you want to know more about this, Rabbi Moshe Sokolow, I'm sure, will be happy to go and tell you. Rabbi Moshe Sokolow is a very famous professor and a very choshev person who davens at Lincoln Square. Throughout the year, he never washes once, not on Shabbos, not on Yontif, not during the week, not by a chasana, and not by a siyam, and not Friday night on Lech Mishnah. He's a siyam, whatever. He's a wonderful person, but he has that type of intolerance. The only time he eats every year is only the Seder nights. Then he either eats oats or spelt or whatever. Speak to him, he will tell you more about it. On to the next mission. But we see clearly from this braisa that even bizman azesh ein beis hamikdash kaim, the last line of the Gemara, minayin tamloim be'erev teichel matzahs, it's a choyve today, even though there's no beis hamikdash. Okay, on to the next mission. Zok the Mishnah. Now this Mishnah, I don't know if all of us can relate to, but at least I can relate to this Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, yoshnu miktsasim. What happens in the middle of the Seder? You're eating, and it gets late, and it gets late, and you start falling asleep. And then you wake up again. Now the question is, do you continue eating now from the Korban Pesach? Now what's the reason why I shouldn't be able to eat? Okay, I fell asleep, but I woke up. Because just like we said in the previous Mishnah, especially according to Rav, that you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach bebeis mekomos, in two separate places. Eating, falling asleep, and the waking up again, it's as if you're in a new place.
Different consciousnesses.
Different consciousnesses. Exactly right. Exactly.
Well, is there a difference between dozing off and falling
asleep? That's going to be the next... You're stealing my thunder. Wait 1 second. We're going to discuss that in a moment.
It's sleep.
Yeah, it's asleep, yeah. Anyway, so Yashin makes up.
Yeah.
What?
Shane,
you're
stealing your thunder, but not your sleep.
Okay, but it's a Shane Akash. Okay, so Yoshnu Miktsason. If you have a group of Chabur of Christ, 10 people, and 5 of them started falling asleep and actually slept, and then they woke up again, says the Mishnah, Yoichlu, they can continue the Suda. Why? Because since the remaining individuals were careful not to fall asleep, we're all considered to be in one place. We haven't moved to another place.
Are they Minuyim?
One second. Everybody's Minuyim. Kulan, however, if everybody fell asleep, all 10 people, Loyoichu, they shouldn't eat anymore. Now, we're assuming that he already ate from the Karban Pesach. If he wakes up and he's going to continue eating, it's like eating Bishtei Mekomos. But if he didn't eat yet, okay. He's eating now for the first time. That's okay. But if you already ate, look at the Rishbam here on the Mishnah, ready at the very beginning. Masnisen, 8 lines before the wide lines. Yoshnu kulam lo yoichlu im hischilu lechol pischon, if they already started eating the Karban Pesach. V'yoshnu, and they fell asleep, lo yoichlu, don't eat again. The nearer it appears, ka'ochel pischon bebeiz mekoimis, the me'acha she yoshnu, after they fell asleep, heisichu data, they no longer were focusing on eating, because they fell asleep, lechol oid, v'choshevle, it's like eating, choshevle tana, kachile shnei mekoimis, v'chum ba'amo. So that's the first halacha. If only some of the guys fell asleep, they can, when they wake up, they can continue eating. If everybody fell asleep, that's it, boys, you can't eat anymore. That's the ratio. Now we get to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, and now we get to Daniel's question. Nisnamnemu. Nisnamnemu means that they were dozing. In Yiddish, they were drimling. They were not full-fledged sleep. They were starting to doze. Trembling. What's the loch in the snamnamu? Yoichlu. Then when they wake up from their doze, you go, wake up. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah. Of course, I was up the whole time. Sure, what are you touching me for? Social distancing. The snamnamu, yoichlu, then they're allowed to go and eat. Near the move, they fell into a deep sleep, and you can even hear them snoring, then loy yoichlu.
Pretty boring sleep.
Loy yoichlu, then they cannot go and eat. Now, who is Rabbi Yossi referring to? So Rishbam says that Rabbi Yossi is going back on the Tanakhama, and he's coming to be machmer on the Tanakhama, and he's saying even though the Tanakhama said the Yoshnu Miktsason, if some of them fell asleep, Yoichlu, you're allowed to go and eat, as long as not everybody fell asleep. It's only some of the guys fell asleep. They wake up, they can continue eating. Says Rabbi Yossi, you know when? When they weren't really asleep. They were only misnamnim, they were only dozing. But if they really fell asleep, and you hear the snoring, forget about it, even though there are another 100 people there that are up, this fellow can no longer eat, according to Reb Yossi. And we'll see more about this in the Gemara shortly. And the Mishnah concludes, HaPesach Acher Chatzois Metamei Es HaYodayim. What happens if you left the Karban Pesach after Chatzois, it has now become Nosar? The halacha is, like the Mishnah says, ha-pigel, ba-noyser, metamen, ha-siyadayim. Not min ha-Torah, this is midrabanon, and we'll see why in Mirat Hashem tomorrow, why the Chacham were goyzer on pigel and noyser, that it's metamen, yadayim. So, Timar, we go back to Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, oyim nisnamnemu, yoichlu, nirdemu, lo yoichlu. Frey Timar, heichidam nisnamnem. Can you describe to me in graphic terms, what does it mean to doze? Amar Ravashi, it means nim v'loy nim, tir v'loy tir. Nim v'loy nim means he's sleeping and he's not sleeping. Tir v'loy tir, he's up but he's not up. What does that mean? Keep going to Korile, you call him, Yankel, v'oni, how can I help you? Well, he's up and he answers. V'loyod l'aduri svar, but if you start asking him something that requires him to use his brain processes, he's not able to answer. However, if you remind him, midka, yo. So Rishbam gives an example. What happens if you ask him, tell me, I want to leave now. Where did you leave my hat? Where did you put it down?
I don't know anything about the hat.
Oh, I just found it now. It's the top of the closet. Yo, that's where I put it, on top of the closet. Yo, I remember. That's where I put it, top of the closet. So you look at the Rishbam, right, where it says Gemara. See Rishbam? Skip the first 10 lines. Gemara. Ladu Luis Svara. Bemiltze the Tricha Svara. something that requires a person to use his brains. Keep going. Shishu'alun oisei. Heichon hinach tekliza. Where did you put down my hat? Where did you put down the haggadah? Where did you put this? He cannot, lo yochel, he's not able to respond. V'chim mitkulei, hanachosim mokom ployni. But you tell him, oh, you put it over there, mitko, yo, hen. Yeah, that's right, exactly. You're 100% right. Put it there on top of the closet and put it on the table. Oilav, he said, no, it wasn't there. So that's what dozing is all about. Says the Gemara. Gemara gives us a real life story about Abaye and Rabba. Abaye also coming to Rabba. Abaye was sitting at the Seder night, at the Seder table, together with Rabba. Chozer dekom menamnim. He saw that Rabba was falling asleep. He was dozing. Omalei. So now Abaye says to Rabba, Menim konoyim mar. I see that you fell asleep, Rabba. And if you fell asleep, a case of nirdemu, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, you'll no longer be able to eat the Karban Pesach, or in the times of Rabba, you won't be able to eat any more matzah, because you fell asleep. Amalei, so Rabba said, I beg your pardon, I did not fall asleep. Menumi kamenamnem, I was only dremling, I was only dozing off. Utanat, we learned the Mishnah, nisnamnemu, yoichlu, nirdemu lo yoichlu. So Abaye was, quote unquote, accusing Rabba of being a nirdam, that he actually fell asleep. And Rabba said, no, Abaye, you're mistaken. I know exactly, I can repeat to you the whole conversation the last 5 minutes, word for word. I was just dozing off, but I was not really sleeping, and therefore I can continue to eat. And therefore, says Rishbam, we see from this real life story that that's the psak halacha, that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi and like Rabba, that if you really fell asleep and you ate already a kazayis of the achilas afikoyman, don't eat anything more. But if you're just dozing, you can continue eating.
What if you did not eat a kazayis of the afikoyman?
Then you gotta eat, because the only thing is the gzeira mishum shtei mekoymos.
Right.
That you already ate and you're eating again. If you didn't eat it the first time, wake him up. Get up and eat afikoyman. Don't fall asleep. So we see that after Chatzois, not only are you not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach, it becomes Nosar, and we said at the end of the Mishnah, Pigal v'Nosar and Metami Yadayim. Metami Yadayim means Midrabanan, that your hands now are Tami. There's no such thing as Tumas Yadayim D'Araisa. It's Midrabanan. So Timur Alma, what do I see from this? Chatzois Havalei Nosar, that once Chatzois hits, it becomes noiser, and that's why it's metame. Man tana, who's the tana of our Mishnah? Rav Yosef, Rav Loz, Ben Azari, he the sign, he will end in a braisa. The ochlu es abosr b'layla hazeh. How late can you go and eat the Karban Pesach? How late can you eat that final shtickle matzah that we call afikoman? How late can you eat that? Kuntra Blaz Ben Azaria, the Sanya of Ochlu is a possible Laila Zer, Blaz Ben Azaria, Oyman Nema Kan Belaila Zer, says Ochlu is a possible Laila Zer, the Karban Pesach this night. Venemala Halon Bivar to be able to try about Lailo Hazer. Kodesh Baruch Hu went throughout the entire Mitzrayim that night. When did Rabbeinu Shlom go throughout Mitzrayim that night? Malalona Chatzois, Afkana Chatzois, like it says in the Pasuk. When did that took place? When did that take place? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? That took place at Chatzois. Oy bazoy, since it says Hazeh, Vivarti Mitzrayim Alayla Hazeh, and it says Va'achlus Vasa Balayla Hazeh, Elun Layla Hazeh, Layla Hazeh. Just like the Makas Bechoros took place at Chatzois, you have to eat your Karban Pesach until Chatzois. And therefore, a minute after Chatzois, says Rav Loz Ben Azaria, it's Noisar. Say the Rabbanan, therefore it's Metamei Siyadayim. So our Mishnah goes according to Rav Loz Ben Azaria. Rabbi Kiva respectfully disagrees. V'aloi nemer, it says in the Pasuk, you're allowed to go and eat the Karban Pesach until the Zman Chipozoin. When is the Zman Chipozoin? When did people run from Mitzrayim? In the morning, not during the night. It's true that the Mitzrayim told them right after Makas Bechoros at 12:30, when they realized massive killings of all of the deaths of all of the Bechoyrim, then they said, Yidin, get out of here. Aros, Yudin, Aros. That's when they told them. But Klal Yisrael only left the next morning. And therefore, says Rabbi Kiva, you were able to eat the Karban Pesach until the Zman Chipozen of Yisrael, until the next morning, and it does not become noiser until the morning. Well, what did we do with this balayla hazeh that we just dashing? Balayla yochli enecha b'kodshim kikodshim b'yoyim tamaloyim balayla balayla hunecha v'enonechal b'yoyim. What does Yomar mean? As you know, most karbonis are nechal liyoyim v'layla. It's true the karm shlomim is an exception to the rule, and the same thing applies to bechor and maser, that those you can eat shnei yomim v'layla echad. But your regular karm you ate yomim v'layla. Now what means yomim v'layla? You bring your karbon toda, for instance. You brought it not on Erev Pesach, throughout the year. Today, if the Beis Hamikdash was standing, a person brought a karbon toda, he got to the Beis Hamikdash late, he's there at 12 o'clock, they bring the karbon toda. How long can he go and eat the karbon toda? He can eat it for the rest of the day, and he can eat it at night. But he can no longer eat it the next day. That's already, that would be the shnei yom. No, only yom v'layla. Karbon Pesach has the shortest period of time that you can go and eat it, because you can't even eat it by yom. You can only eat it by layla. Says Rabbi Kiva, how do I know that? Maybe karbon Pesach is like your karbon toda. Maybe it's like the Kehanim when they eat from their Karm Chatas, from the Karm Asham, that they eat the whole day and they eat it at night. Who says Karm Pesach is only at night? Tosi di Pasik, v'ochlus ha-basar balayla. You have to eat the Karm Pesach at night. You're not allowed to eat the Karm Pesach during the day. That's what Gemara is saying. Ma tamalim balayla, yochli enechel b'kodshim b'yoyim, tamalim balayla balayla enechel v'in enechel b'yoyim. So that answers about the balayla. But what about balayla hazeh? We're learning hazeh hazeh, that just like the carbon, the makas b'choyres, the avarti b'etz time balayla hazeh, and here it says v'ochlus ha-basar balayla hazeh. So the choyre tells you that you can only eat it until chatzoyis. Rabbi Kiva, hay hazeh, my obed late. So you might be ute layla acher hudiyasa. It comes to tell you you can only eat it the first night and not the second night. Why would I have thought that you could eat the Karm Pesach two nights? So kadai techemina hoilu Pesach kachim kalim. Ushlovim kachim kalim. Mashlovim necholim lishne yom v'layla echad. Af Pesach oikim leilois b'mokim yomim. V'hei nechal lishne leilois v'yoyim echad. Make as a mirror image, as a v'nahapachu. That since Karm Shlovim is kachim kalim, you can eat it for shne yom, 2 days and one night. Karm Pesach you cannot eat for the first day. You just said v'layla. So the first day is disqualified. That's taken out of the equation. Okay, so maybe you can go and eat it two nights and a day. Eat it the first Seder night and the second Seder night. Whether you can literally eat it the middle day between the two Seder nights, that's already a machloikas. Rishbam brings Rashi, his Zayda, and himself, and there's a machloikas whether or not you're allowed to eat in the Yom Bein time. And therefore when it says in the Gemara, Shnei Leilos V'Yom Echad, according to Rashi, as quoted by Rishbam, the Yoy Mechad is Lav Dafka. It just means that the carbon doesn't become nosar, put away in the refrigerator, put away in a cool area on the morning of the first day of Yontif, and then eat it the second night of Yontif. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, that would already be the first night of Chol HaMoed. But the Rishbam disagrees, and Rishbam says that you could eat it, according to the Gemara's Havamina, even during the day. Of course, lemaisa doesn't make a difference. We don't paskin like that. But what's the havim in the gemara? It's all kadai techemin. Hoyu lepeisa kachim kalish lom kachim kal. Mashlam nechol nishnei yom v'layla echad af peisa oikim leilois b'makim yomim v'inechol shnei leilois v'yem echad. You should be able to eat it both nights. Kasechmona hazeh only the first night and not the second night. Period. Nothing more to discuss. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah amalach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "I'm very sorry, Rabbi Kiva. I don't need the hazeh to disqualify the second night. I know that from Melayu Sirim and Benuad Boyker Nafka. It says, don't leave over the Karm Pesach until the first morning. It says until the morning. So once it hits the morning, we're done. So there's no half a minute to say I should be able to eat it the next day and the next night. Rabbi Kiva Omalach, Ilai Kazarachmana, Hazeh, have a minute, my Boyker Shani. Maybe the Pasuk is telling you, you can eat the Karm Pesach the first night. You can eat it during the day. You can eat it the second night. Until the second morning, don't leave it over. That's why you have to have the Hazeh to tell you only the first night and not the second night and not the day, because already by the Boker Rishon. Reb Loza Amalach, Kolech the Kosim Boker, Boker Rishon Hu. If the Torah only uses the expression Boker once, that means the first morning. It doesn't mean 2 mornings, 3 mornings, 12 mornings. It means only the first morning. That's the double pashut. Therefore, I don't need Hazeh to limit your consumption to go and tell you, don't eateth the shnei yomim shnei lailas v'yoyim echad. I know that because he can't eat it beyond the first boker, and then it becomes nicer. Okay, so that's the end of this machlokes. And now, how does that apply to us today? Today, unfortunately, we don't have the Karban Pesach. Hopefully, we will have it still this Yontif. But if not, Mirchem next year. It's Omer Rava, Ochel Matzah Bizman Azeh. Nowadays, Acher Chatzois, after Chatzois, so Blas Ben Azariah, Lo Yotza Yedei Choy Vasoi. If you eat the Afikoyman after Chatzois, you're not Yotza. And that's why in 99.9% of all Jewish homes, it gets close to the Chatzois, and everybody starts saying, Shnell, we gotta eat Chatzois, we have to eat Afikoyman before Chatzois. Stop extorting us for more presents. You want to go to Orlando and you want a Minnie Mouse, a Mickey Mouse, forget about it. We have to eat that Afikoyman now, we cannot wait. Anyway, so Gemara, Pshita, of course it's the Dov Pasha. Since you tell me Rav Elazar ben Azariah says you can only eat the Karban Pesach until Chatzos. And if we pass like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that you can only eat until Chatzos the Karban Pesach. Since the matzah that we eat is Bimkom the Karban Pesach. That's also so Pshita. Keep the Iskish for Pesach, keep Pesach on it. But you're allowed to say, Ma afki kro mehekesha. I would have thought, no, Efshanisht. Why would I have thought Efshanisht? Because since we said back on the Omid Aleph that although there's a pasuk minat Torah, matzos al matzos and marim ichluhu, you're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach together with matzos and maror, but unfortunately there's no Karban Pesach. And therefore the pasuk of al matzos and marim ichluhu no longer applies. So why do we have a mitzvah to go and eat matzah on Seder night? Because it says be'erev teich lematzos. So that's an independent halacha, be'erev teich lematzos. So I would think that that be'erev teich lematzos allows you to go and eat matzahs the entire night. It's no longer attached to the Karban Pesach, because the al matzah marim echlu doesn't apply if there's no Karban Pesach. No Karban Pesach, no matzahs amrayim. Why do we eat matzahs? Be'erev teich lematzos. So eat matzahs the whole night until the morning. So I might have thought, when the Torah reinstates and says, the Torah is not giving you a brand new independent obligation to eat the matzah, it's giving you a Karban Pesach dika matzah achila obligation. In which respect is it a Karban Pesach achila obligation? In the respect that according to Blas Ben Azariah, if you can only eat the Karban Pesach until Chatzos, you can only eat the matzah for Afikoyman until Chatzos. And we'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai, to be Mitchum, continue tomorrow.
Is that the logical of a Gezeir Shalom?
Have a wonderful day, everybody. Gezeir Shalom.